Woke up this morning next to an angel. Saw him lift his hand up high. He said, thank you, God, for forgiving me. Another day to live this life. He whispered to me, good morning. Quietly sang a happy tune. And then he softly held me in the early morning light of his room. Good morning to anyone who's lonely. Good morning to everyone who's crying. Good morning to anybody who's lost someone they love.
Hi, this is Team CST, Connecting Spirit Together, and I'm your host, Mercedes Lucky. Connecting Spirit Together is a show about the whole team, and the team stands for the world. And Great Spirit, Higher Power, God, whatever you want to think, is the leader of the team. And with that said, I know that the people that have listened to this show before and are sticking with this show know that I try to bring people on the show that have actually helped me. And my logan is like, logo is helping people help themselves. And I have two people here that are doing a fantastic job at helping people. And I was lucky enough to be taken to Interstellar Light applications a year ago. They call it ILA. And I'm going to introduce you to Monica and Richard Chapin. Hi, Monica and Richard.
Hi, Mercedes.
And like I said, I went there a year ago, and I've been back a couple of times. And I always try to bring people that have, and people and things into this radio program that have helped me, so I know it to be a true thing, a real thing, and my prayer is that the people, you, for example, what you have to say reaches out into the audience and touches somebody's life or brings them to kind of a healing in their place, of their life. And with that said, I want to make sure everybody has the numbers, so get out your pen. We're going to have, this is also a call-in program, and we'd love to have some calls because should be a lot of interesting things said here. I'm going to give out the worldwide number, and that's 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And the U.S. only is 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. And with that said, Richard, you and Monica have created this, and I would like for you to tell the audience what this is. Can you explain to us what ILA is?
Well, I can, Mercedes. Stands for Interstellar Light Applications, and it basically uses starlight, moonlight, and virtually any light that comes from outer space, and we magnify that light, and we apply it to us, to humans, to ourselves. We also apply it to minerals and plants. We have found out that celestial light is indeed part of us. This is how we have grown, and this is what has kept ourselves going. So we're hoping to multiply these effects that we really haven't been getting very much.
Right.
Hi, Mercedes.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, everyone out there. What Richard has said, what actually happened was we had a very, very good friend who wasn't even 50 years old, and she was dying of pancreatic cancer. She tried everything. She went down to U of A and tried every experimental drug you could think of. And she finally, after 2 years, and she lived over 2 years with it, turned to Richard and she said, you know, Richard, you always think outside the box. There is nothing on this planet that is going to heal me. Isn't there something you can think of? Now, we are not particularly scientists or even medically trained, but Richard does have the tendency, and we both have the humanitarian heart and, of course, the love for our friend. He kind of buried himself in the U of A reference department for about 6 months. And he came back out and he said to me, you know, Monica, it has to do with light frequency.
Right. Well, as we know, different lights affect us different ways. A certain wavelength will affect us a certain way. And the wavelengths of some of the celestial lights are just extraordinary. And many of them can't be duplicated here on Earth by artificial lights.
Wow.
So that seems to be another reason to kind of apply it to us.
One thing that when he came home, he was talking to me that day, he was saying that he said, you know, and the moonlight, he said, of all things, because, of course, that's our closest little celestial body that we all know and love. He said the frequency coming off the moonlight is very similar to what the American Medical Association is studying to help cure cancers. Now, this was 5 years ago, when lasers were just beginning, things like that were just beginning. And I thought the project was going to be magnifying a little bit of moonlight. Well, you know, Richard really meant this to be for mankind. And he said, you know, this project is going to change the world. If we can get rid of chemotherapy and things that are almost worse than the disease,
right,
find something so natural and beautiful that's in the sky and that our, like he was saying earlier, your cells respond to moonlight. Our ancient cells inside need all these starlights and moonlight. So basically, and I don't know if I should even mention the number, but we kind of put our money where our mouth was. Our friend was dying. This was going to take a lot of money to build. We pretty much put everything up that we had, mortgaged everything, and we called in some of the top experts, and Richard can tell you about that.
Well, we developed an expert team, and we do have some background. I have exhibits, scientific exhibits, throughout many museums of the United States, science museums, and we've been honored as such, at least helping to explain scientific principles through exhibits. So again, this became almost another natural way to try to help out. But we got together really an expert team, a couple of top people at the local observatory, which is really well known, Kitt Peak National Observatory.
I want to tell people we're in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
Right. So when we say local, it's really been rated very high in the top five observatories of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there are true experts out there, and they helped us. And of course, mechanical engineers and one former NASA engineer was quite up there and.
Wow.
Helped us develop the type of mount that this thing could track the stars, and because it's 30 tons, and it's accurate to within 1/10,000th of an inch in its movements and its utilization of the wavelengths of light.
Yeah, I think we need to describe what this thing is.
I was going to say, it's that little. It's huge.
It's huge. Okay, so when he came home, I mean, you know, all of you married couples and whatever kind of couples you are out there will totally understand. When he came home, I was all hepped up that this is going to help our friend. I did not realize until we were over $1 million into this.
Oh, my goodness.
What this project really was going to entail. And we took a moment and looked at each other. At that point, we were about 50 years old. And I said, you know, this is going to take 20 years or more to pay back, if then. But we thought, you know, what are we all doing on this planet? I mean, this is really it was a real gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching moment of possibly this is our destiny. And obviously, it was a cry for out of love and hope for somebody. So we went ahead and did it. Now, this thing stands right now. It's on 40 acres. Out in the foothills of Kitt Peak, not too far away from it. So there's not much light pollution, which is what you want. You want to get the interstellar light. It stands 50 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's 60 feet wide. It has 84 parabolic mirrors, which means they're slightly curved. Each mirror is 8 feet by 4 feet. So this thing really does stand up tall in the middle of the desert. And is made to gather as much light as we possibly could.
Well, it's amazing to look at it. You know, now that I wonder, what made you pick that particular place to place this?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. It sort of fell in our lap. It was one of these things you could buy on the courthouse steps through a friend, and it was it was far out enough, but not so far that people couldn't travel to it. I think it was meant to be. I mean, it really
wasn't a particular spot. You know, you didn't research it. It just was any spot that would be fine, kind of.
No, but this place across the street is national or state land, and it can't be built on, so we knew the life solution was a big issue, and this place was 40-acre parcels, and, you know, definitely a place you wouldn't have
to come. Right, and as a light collector, it picks up really all extraneous light also, so the darker the better. It can literally pick up the light 3,000 miles away of a candle. Of course, if it's focused just right on that. But, I mean, that's the type of equivalency it would indicate.
Wow. Well, can you explain to us what happens when you go out there and, you know, just kind of further on what the moon does to help heal? And, Richard, I think you might need to speak up just a little bit.
Yes, I'll try a little harder.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay, so can you explain how it works?
It starts off with a phone call to our office, and if Mercedes doesn't mind, I could even give that phone number.
Please, I do not mind.
It's in Arizona, so you would need an area code of 520-323-3446. So that's 520-323-3446. And that phone call will connect you up with our wonderful little staff inside of Tucson, and they will tell you the dates that we actually do the moonlight. Now, because this is privately funded, we're running out of money. I mean, that's a frank fact. As we discover more and more things, we just assumed if we built it, they would come. So at the moment, we only actually offer to the public 2 to 3 nights a month. The next time is, and I will say this because if you want to come to Tucson, Arizona, the next time is Saturday, March 7th. By calling that number, you'd get a reservation and be able to attend. It starts at 6:45. Or the next night, Sunday, March 8th, which is at 7:15 at night. And there's a basic fee. We do have a nonprofit, and there's a basic fee of $25 for 3 minutes and 50 minutes for 7 minutes. And we sometimes have people who are very $50 for 7 minutes. And then when we have some people who are, you know, very terminally ill, they sometimes even purchase more time. But
of course, time is donated there quite a lot also.
That's
so
right.
Interspersed both, you know, in and out.
We do have a sliding scale always because, the money just pays basically for the evening. We have a heated tent, snacks and drinks, and a restroom for everyone that's included in the evening. And, of course, a talk. Basically, what you can expect when you get out there is about, from downtown Tucson, about a 20 to 25-minute drive. So it's not outrageously out of town.
Mm-hmm.
You'll arrive in a big 40-acre area where you'll adjust your eyes to the incredible sky, which if any of us are city dwellers, that is always quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see immediately the interstellar light collector, but you won't see the light on the front of it because it is focused only on the people that enter into an open chamber with another parabolic mirror behind them. And it's a 5 by 5 foot beam, so two people go in at a time, side by side. And then those people inside the chamber will see the reflection and the beautiful concentration of the moonlight and the beam on them. So basically what has happened, even the first day we opened, which was May of 2006, to the public, was we didn't know what it would do. So we didn't even give everybody 84 mirrors. We gave them like 12, was it, Richard? Was it 12?
Right, yeah.
12 mirrors and 3 minutes because this had never been done. This is the only one on the planet. And even though we had studied and my husband had studied that all the people who had studied moonlight, Galileo, everyone, lived way past their lifespan, so an assumption was made that at least it didn't kill them, we still had to think this through. Well, one thing that happened that evening, which started us off on the whole thing, was he had a firefighter come out with his wife, and John Graves was his name, and he was kind of dragged out there because he was not particularly a New Age person or, you know, really anything really wrong with him, except for the fact that he weighed 100 pounds more than he should have. And he couldn't get to be captain of his house, firehouse, because he was just too overweight. So he kind of got dragged out there by his wife, and he got his 3 minutes, and then he went home. Well, the next day his wife called me up, and she said, when I got home at midnight, John ran 5 miles. I said, I didn't think that John could run 5 miles, but that's kind of amazing. She goes, you know, he usually comes home and grabs a bag of chips and watches TV, but he went and ran 5 miles. Well, that was May of 2006. We got a call from him about a week later saying that something had lifted in his head, a depression of some sort. Something became easier in his life. He just felt it. And from May of 2006 to October of 2006, he lost that 100 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. He lost that 100 pounds. And it's really quite amazing. He's kept it off. In fact, he's become a, what is it called, Richard?
Triathlete.
Oh, my goodness.
He won the triathlon.
Yeah.
Right. Well, not one. He was in some of the upper.
But it's that, I mean, that moon is, it really promotes so much health. When I was out there the first time, I was just wowed by the stories of the people that had been there so many times, and the stories were incredible, healing stories, and very honest and truthful, straight from the heart. What do you suppose the moon does, and what does it do to us that is so unusual? And it affects different people different ways, doesn't it? Like one, like that man, it's that. Somebody else, it might be asthma and clearing that. Eyesight, I heard, was better.
Right. You know, God created two great lights, right? The sun and the moon. Of course, the stars also, as the Bible says. It truly is amazing. The moon's surface, by the way, and this is part of the reason it's amazing, the best surface we've ever could even imagine. It's very pristine. It's unchanging, the moon's surface. And as sunlight strikes the surface, of course, it's reflected. And we get that reflected sunlight. So we're getting mostly sunlight. However, the light also is refracted from the moon, so we're also getting refracted light. And also the light penetrates the surface and luminesces out. It comes out in lower wavelengths, but of course the higher wavelengths are ultraviolet, and it comes out as a red or a yellow.
Hmm.
And therefore, did you know the moon is redder than the illuminating sunlight? And in fact, our moon is even yellower than the sun. Now, we would never think that. Scientifically proven, of course, for a long time now, and these wavelengths have also proven to penetrate deeper into our bodies, especially the red. And it's called the therapeutic window between certain nanometers, and this fulfills that. And it penetrates deeper and hits our bones with sunlight also as a packet of energy, as a complete packet of energy. And so, as they say, the shotgun effect, we're bound to hit certain aspects of ourselves and activate them again. So that's part of the theory itself.
Wow.
Yeah, and Mercedes, we have a wonderful molecular biologist has, like, joined us because she was writing a book on the moon, but not the moonlight. It's almost like the light is the elephant in the middle of the room that no one talked about. It's like everyone's studying the tides and everyone, and all those are very important, don't get me wrong. But the light just became reflected sunlight and dismissed. Well, she said, and she came out and she said to me, you know, you have ancient cells in your body that react to moonlight. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, human beings formed under the sun and the moon, there are so many animals and plants and from the ocean to terra firma that absolutely need moonlight to metabolize. And I thought about that for a minute. She goes, you know, scientists will talk to you about the circadian rhythms, which is your eating patterns and your sleeping patterns.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scientific fact, and that might have been what happened to our firefighter there. We might have just put him back into where he should be, into balance. And she was very, it was very interesting. And as time progressed and we had so many different things respond and actually become healed from this, I became like believing, but also, like, I'm thinking this has to be almost a placebo. Maybe the effect of being out in this lovely desert is causing all these people to let go of their problems, and they're getting better. But what she said to me is the moon is the balancer in your body. It wants to balance you back into health. It wants to balance all of your body back into health. And all of a sudden, the people who were being cured of asthma and thyroid conditions and skin problems, even hearing, eyesight, pain relief was a major one. It suddenly made sense that no matter kind of what was wrong with you, the moon had an effect on you.
That's so amazing.
You know, and of course, there are various aspects of effects. You know, we've been seeing also with interesting the type of statistics and categories coming up. So,
well, I love it because everybody, I've had opened my mind. I mean, not that I was a closed-minded person, obviously, we built this thing. But I have to be frank with you, there's been so many races, religions, people of all ages, sizes, everyone coming out with different conditions, terminal cancer, 2 weeks to live to people on dialysis. I mean, I have had evenings where I just wept on my way home, just wept in the car and said, you know, this would be such a wonderful thing to work. And honestly, I've had Buddhist monks come out in their saffron robes, and after the gentleman had been out there two different moonlight times, and he was leading his other monks to their car, he took his eyeglasses, they had been tucked into a little crease in his robe, and he took them, and he was about to take them out, and he didn't, and all his people in his car are pointing at his glasses, you know, it's not time to go home, put your glasses on. And he said, no, no. He said, I see 2020. He says, I'm seeing 2020.
Wow.
And that's happened to more than one person out there.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, my eyes, I've noticed, I was out there about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I've been noticing that my eyesight has gotten a little bad. But lately, I mean, just the last 2 weeks, I thought to myself, gee, I can really, it's not as blurry as it was. And, you know, now that I think about it, maybe that had something, you know, to do with it, because I was praying that, they, you know, I wouldn't have to wear glasses or anything yet. So, I don't know. That is a big thing. I did notice on my own body that had changed. So I wonder if, I just bet it does. I bet it has something to do with that.
Well, you know, I heard people out there talking. I had a thyroid condition before we built this, but it came on suddenly. I actually had been a cardio kickboxer, you know, like as my exercise program, not professionally or anything. I was in great shape, and I was whatever I was, 40-something. And also, instead of gaining this weight and being exhausted, and, you know, it went on for like a year, and then finally I went to the doctor, and they said, oh, my God, your thyroid is... should be between 1.5 and 4.5, and you're 18. My God, and you should be, like, crawling through the door and all this stuff. So I, after trying natural things and not having it work and having the doctor scare you like a doctor always does, it's going to stop your heart. You know, your heart is the metabolism, too. It scared me to death, and I went ahead and took this pill. That is the pill that, you know, I'm thankful for it. It did balance me back out, but it's a pill for the rest of your life, and that upset me. I'm not a pill taker. Anyhow, I'd heard from people that had come through the moonlight that they, after 5 minutes in the moonlight, were experiencing a lowering of their thyroid medication. So I said, okay, I can get as much moonlight as I want, obviously, from the collective. But I'm going to put myself on an experiment, and this was last January. And I said, I'm just going to get 5 minutes a month. I'm going to put myself on like everyone else pretty much that comes through here. And I did that when I saw the doctor. I talked to her. She said, you're almost out of whack again. You're going to have to raise your thyroid medication again. And I said, you know, if it's not going to hurt my heart, you know, let me try this. So I didn't see her for 6 months. And every month I went out there and did my 5 minutes. Well, after 6 months, I took my blood test. This was now June. And the next day on my answering machine, she said, stop taking all your extra pills and get in here right away. So I said to Richard, oh, God, this has got to be good, right? I come in there, and she said, last time you were in here, you were almost at 4.5, which is the range where you need more medication. She said, you're a negative 2.
Wow.
She said, you went 6.5 points toward health. She said, this is a progressive disease. I've never seen this, you know. And she immediately lowered me down by a quarter, then a half, and now I'm down to a little over a quarter of the pill, and I'm intending to get off this pill that's supposed to
be. Oh, that's so amazing.
I'm working on it.
Oh, so wonderful. And see, that's what I mean. It's proof. There's so many proven things. I want to talk about the crystals and things like that, too, but I'm going to give out the numbers again, to call in, for anyone that wants to call in and ask Richard or Monica any questions about the healing aspect of the moon and what they have made out there at ILA. For you can call 888-815-9756 or 877-876-5227. And do you have a, you surely have a website we could give out?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we do that?
It's www.starlight, light like L-I-G-H-T, so S-T-A-R-L-I-G-H-T, uses, U-S-E-S, .com.
One more time.
Starlightuses.com.
Okay, and then the phone number again for you was?
Area code 520-323-3446.
Okay, great. Now, another thing when you're out there, you have an assortment of crystals, an assortment of beautiful, some jewelry and all kinds of, well, so I bought one, a pretty heart. And then what people, I've heard people do is they take their crystals and different things out there, and it is also magnified by the moonlight, so I do that each time. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about that. When somebody wears a particular piece of jewelry or holds a crystal stone, because I know you guys went and had that analyzed at the Tucson, the University of Tucson, U of A. Can you tell us about that?
Right, and we always need to do more and more of the science, and it seems like that's coming in a lot more now, and we've been entreating more and more scientists, so I'm hoping for massive laboratories out there also. That would be great. Yes, this was a great associate of ours now, Dr. Downs, professor of mineralogy at the University of Arizona, and, we took crystals, 5-inch crystals, maybe about 3/4 of an inch wide, cut them in half. One half was exposed to prolonged moonlight and the other half not, and taken to Dr. Down's laboratory and so forth. And sure enough, the parts that have been exposed to moonlight became
the moonlight collector,
it became purer, became less interference of noise, less particles, literally even physical differences, sometimes noticeable by the eye, but mostly by the instruments used, and one of them is called the Raman spectrometer.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very high-end, delicate instruments. As a matter of fact, his instruments are going to the next Mars mission.
Wow.
Dr. Downs is quite honored of this at the university. So, and, of course, then we've done subsequent quartz crystals and other minerals with the same results, that these minerals, and we use that term cautiously, correctly, actually became purer. And what has probably happened is it's also taken on this type of vibration and frequency. And hopefully this type of rhythm can be put out within these crystals.
And didn't the original experiments, Monica, I think, was saying how they couldn't believe, they thought maybe you had switched. So you had to put them back together to show that it was real.
I think he's doing us basically a favor because he was curious also. I mean, there's a lot of folklore about crystals, and we just had a gem show here in Tucson, Arizona.
We sure did.
You could see people wearing and buying what they think are healing crystals, everything from amethyst to everything. So this is kind of almost the first time that somebody in modern times, I believe, has been checking out the folklore of why people love crystals, why they even purify them in the sun and the moon, and et cetera. So when we brought these, when we brought our five large raw crystals down and cut them in half and left half at his lab, I didn't know the man very well yet. This was sort of a favor. And when we brought the second half of each crystal back after it had been exposed in the concentrated moonlight collector, he accused me of bringing back different halves. And because when he looked at it under the Raman spectrometer, where it had all these graphic lines going up 3 inches off the page, now that everything had flatlined. And he just, and then of course I said, well, put them together. They're like a puzzle. They're going to have to fit together. It's the crystal. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's thinking I'm a liar.
Oh no, yeah.
I mean, it was like one of those moments. And then he did it. And then he was actually surprised. He said, you know, what most people don't realize, and this is a very interesting thing, is that the computer chip in your computer is Silicon Valley. That is a crystal chip. They are still grown. There is no artificial way to reproduce that silicon chip. In this modern time, it is a crystal in your computer that is storing information and transmuting information.
That says
a lot right there.
And so
I would like to take a whole computer and put it under the concentrated
moon. That would be, you could. And I want to stress that you guys only, this is only
the worldwide web. We'll have the universal web.
This is done during the full moon, right, here in Tucson?
Yes, usually a couple of days before. And the reason being is just really convenience for the people coming out. The moon rises 50 minutes later every evening. So once you get to the full moon, you'd have to start your evening somewhere around 10 o'clock or later. So we start a couple of days before, and we check, very scientifically the luminosity and everything that's coming off, and we don't really ever do it unless it's way over 90. So.
Well, remember, the moon's still quite up, but the way we focus our system indicates, you know, some of those parameters. Be interesting, we can actually focus for almost any parameter. So, but right
yeah.
now, that's...
When you're in there, like when last time I was in there about a month ago, the gentleman, I mean, he was just moving the light to hit just perfectly, you know, from... I'm not exactly sure what I'm saying, but you could probably explain it better. But I know that he was adjusting it during our time in there.
Right. We don't yet have a fully automatic system, by the way, so that's one reason. So that helps, but yet it's like a theater also, you know, the way people line up and how you adjust it. And so we've kind of left it, as they say, analog, even though it is a digital system. You're able to move it quite easily with like an analog, as they say, type of movement.
And there's huge hydraulics, and the front of the array is always aligned. It's the fact that we're on a planet and it's moving and the moon is moving.
Oh, constantly, yes.
That pretty much every 10 to 15 minutes you have to do an adjustment.
See, I mean, I didn't know any of this until like that's a...
It just depends where you want to hit, and sometimes maybe a little bit more of your face or maybe more towards your body and so forth.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, does it matter if you have clothes on, or some people that are truly sicker or have, you know, more severe problems, they go out?
We're not quite sure of that yet, and I think it's still out a bit with scientists commenting on that. Maybe some of the wavelengths penetrate through the clothing, and some don't. So preferably the less clothing, the better.
Yeah, we actually have had in the past, and we will again as it gets a little bit warmer. I mean, people wait in a warm tent. So you're not out there thirsty, or you're in a warm tent. But when it is your turn to go in the moonlight, we have to leave the front of our lab open, obviously, to receive the moonlight. And there's some reflective heaters in front of you. So in the winter, we don't have what we call exactly a wellness night. But we will be starting that up again, probably in maybe a month or so. And that's the night where we have people who have way more serious conditions. We've had everything from a little girl who... had a heart transplant when she was only a couple of years old, and they knew she was going to need a second one as she approached her puberty, and she's 9 or 10, and she started rejecting her heart.
Oh.
And her parents were bringing her out, and she didn't reject her heart. I don't know how else to explain it, but she won't need her second transplant until she reaches now more really her adolescent years. They were afraid she was going to need 3 hearts to make it through her lifetime. I mean, that's almost impossible. I mean, it's very difficult. And so those kind of evenings are for people with more serious cancers, evenings where, and then we give people more privacy. That's probably what you're talking about.
Right,
they
expose
some part of their body that has the illness in it. We give people privacy on those evenings. That's not what I call a public evening. And definitely when you get to that point, on public evenings, we do tell people if they have an ache or a pain or in their leg or their back, you know, try to pick up your shirt. Definitely take off your glasses so it doesn't refract the light coming into your eyes. The light, by the way, is not a light and makes you squint. I guess you've been there, Mercedes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very heavenly light. It's a glowing light. It's so familiar to your body. It's like your body just wants more and more and more. It's fascinating. We had Dr. Emoto from...
I was going to mention him.
Do we know?
Emoto Mazzuro.
I've loved his book. Fascinating about the water.
Mazzuro Emoto.
There we go.
A matter of fact, Emoto is emotion, and he says, be careful about me. Up like a volcano in Japanese.
And let me tell you, for him to come out is an honor, I think. I mean,
if we can go further, actually. You know, we have a DVD finally coming out.
Oh, great.
It took one full year, and it's now within 2-4 weeks, and Dr. Mazzuro Emoto is on our back cover, actually, with his it was gracious enough, and he said yes, and so forth, and what were you saying, Monica?
Well, I was going to say what happened to him when he came out there. He came out there because, you know, his mission in life is to teach people on the planet that water is an organism not to be ignored, that it really is the blood flow of the planet, and that things can be, and that water can be healed quite rapidly, that it's not as hard to end pollution. And so he was very curious about putting water into the moonlight. That was his big thing.
Mm.
And he brought bottles of water with him and put them in. And then he himself sat there with his interpreter and started, by the time he was in there a little over 5 minutes, he began singing in Japanese. You know, I had never heard these kind of songs to the moon. And then when he came out, because we just let him go, we said, okay, he's a very sensitive person. He'll know when he's done. And it was almost 17 minutes, which is really quite a long time. But he popped out, and he said to me in English, he said, I never want to leave this place.
Oh.
He said, I haven't been home in 3 months, and I live on the Bay of Tokyo. And he said, and I always thought it was the water that is the reason I live there, he said. But now I'm realizing it's the light reflecting off the water that made me live there.
Oh.
It was a very touching moment, and he was quite a...
People have forgotten about the light of the moon. We all know about the geophysical effects. Yes, the tides are affected, so forth, daily, you know, and gravity and so forth. But the light has proven to be much more effective in plants, in animals, in the oceans, and so forth. So as the sun shines in the day, the moon at the night has been doing the same thing.
Richard, why don't you tell them about the seeds, the lunotropic
seeds? Oh, yeah, the seeds.
Well, that seems to be another, in a sense, a minor miracle. Let's hope our own cells respond as these seeds. That Corrine Davies, a known researcher, 22 published articles, PhD, of course, molecular biologist, did seed experiments, and we did 3 or 4 different types, and now we're waiting. Let's do more, and let's try to entreat more people to take this on. And these seeds that were exposed to the moonlight germinated 2 and 3 times more than seeds unexposed. And so the germination process, and then it grew as a normal aspect. But if we could increase crop yields by double or triple, I mean, that's the assumption, and then that would also help each crop cycle. So hopefully that will eventually come in.
And isn't it, I heard Monica saying about something, how the seeds are not able, they make them now where they cannot.
You're going to get me going politically here, but I'll try to stay.
Well, a little bit. It's very interesting.
basically, I mean, everybody on the planet knows that everything goes in cycles here. And if you were a regular farmer, even 100 years ago, you would have left part of your crop out to go to seed in your field. And the rest of it you would harvest it nicely when it was ripe, by the way, not when it's later on ripened in a bag or something. And it would have tasted wonderful, and your seeds would have sat in the field until they were dried out and ready to be used for the next year. Well, everybody thought that that was an unnecessary process. But, however, all those days that it sat there drying out in the field were actually, they were getting moonlight. That's now what we're, you know, Rich and I are realizing. And anyone, if you have a seed company out there of some sort, a natural seed company, we would love to hear from you because, really, quite frankly, there are many plants on the planet that are lunotropic, it's called, which is basically their vitamins, I believe, Richard. They're the brain of the seed. Will not form unless it's under moonlight. And then these are tomatoes, wheat. I mean, these are really basic foods that we're all eating.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened recently that I was shocked at, and maybe some of you out there are getting shocked at this, but about the time, and it was actually when Clinton was in office, and not that I thought he was a bad fellow, but somehow he signed a deal with Monsanto, and they decided that they could sterilize the seeds on the planet coming out of Monsanto. This means that you can put your seed in the ground and it will grow plants, but the seeds that appear to be forming from your plant, when you go to plant those, will not come up.
I tried that last night in my garden, and I noticed that they didn't come up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And the fact that it's been about 10 years, I mean, again, I won't get too political because I don't want to be. I just want to help the planet, but I do want to get certain things out there. We have friends all over the world who are telling us now these seeds are all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, you know, I mean, short of sterilizing people, I think sterilizing our food supply is probably one of the most greediest things I've ever heard of on the planet. And it's not just the seeds that you're buying in Ace Hardware. It's even some of the organic seeds that my daughter picked up at Home Depot. They said organic on them and everything. She planted them, and the next year she took the seeds from them, and they did not come up. We were kind of in shock over this. And not only do we feel like, you know, obviously the poorer countries now have to buy seeds every single year, Jamaica on down to Germany, everybody's talking about it, but this is all over the world. So this is definitely something we all need to stop, and we're on the other end of it, which if you have 100 seeds and it used to be about 20 would come up when you put a pinch in the ground, our type of seeds put under the moonlight for not very long, by the way. I think it was a half an hour or something like that. It wasn't very long. 85 to 90 of the 100 seeds germinated. Well, if I lived in Africa and I had a two-month growing period or something, I'd want to know 90% of my crops coming up, not 20. And I certainly would want to know my seeds are going to reproduce next year.
Right.
So this is a problem that's kind of going around that, you know, another aspect of what we're working on over here.
Well, I think that's fine to say that because you're just trying to bring awareness to people about what's going on. And, Richard, I wanted to find out from you, what is the difference of just standing in the moonlight at night, like tonight,
right, or
then coming out there. I mean, what makes it so different?
No difference other than, and we're hoping no difference other than, and this is why it was shaped just right with the silver type of mirrors and so forth, than normal moonlight, except multiplied. You'd be getting hundreds of times more. And so, you know, Benjamin Franklin, 100 years ago, took moon baths. And he would want to be in that moon for an hour, 2 hours in the water in the moon. So again, if we can get into the moon more, that's certainly a beginning, and I think that would be great, you know, that type of light. But it's very hard to do that, and you know, it takes time and effort, and it depends on the situation and so forth. So it's like a mega dose. If we could get our vitamins right now,
and
try to activate right there and get past that threshold. But hopefully there's really no difference other than just getting a lot more of it, and that's what it seems to be.
And I just want to point out that, you know, I think Americans in particular, you know, obviously not third world countries that are thankful when a full moon comes out and you got a little more light to go do something. I think Americans in particular were under artificial light all the time. And I think we're somewhat moonlight deprived. I mean, like the sun, it can form vitamin D in your body without the harmful rays of the sun. And that says a lot right there. I mean, that's osteoporosis, cancers, lots of things depend on vitamin D. All these studies need to be done further, but a lot of the initial stuff is talking about that. So, yeah.
Well, it's just amazing. Why don't we give out your website and your telephone number again?
Okay.
And that way we'll hope that someone's listening and will call you and come out and see you and get healed.
Worldwide.
Yes. Go ahead and give out your numbers and website.
Yeah, the website is www.starlight, starlight, uses.com. And the phone number is 520-323-3446, 520-323-3446, and it's Interstellar Light Applications, and this is the Interstellar Light Collector. We also have a nonprofit called Light to Life, and we have Moonlight Infusions because of the crystals. By the way, the crystals were molecularly changed there was not a charge in the crystals. They will never go back to having those inclusions and background noise again. That was the, probably the most fascinating thing about that experiment. And that's why we encourage people who are ill to have one of these crystals. Just carry it in your pocket. I've had pain relief from, I had an excess tooth out there, and I put the crystal up into my mouth just for like, it wasn't even 5 minutes, and I never had the root canal on that tooth. That's all I have to say about that.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's kind of amazing.
It is amazing, and that's, I forgot we didn't finish on that subject because one lady when I was out there the first time was honest, she had things all over her skin and different, you know, she was very upset about, and she hurt a lot, and she said that once she was out there, she came religiously. I don't remember her name, but she comes religiously, and she always carries her crystal with her, and she was, the skin started getting better and her, you know, energy better. And I mean, it's just really amazing story, you know, and she's crying about it. So, I mean, it's truly a fascinating, wonderful thing that you guys have created.
Well, it's all natural. It's all God. It's all part of us. It's all just us.
Yeah.
What we can, you know.
And it's just amazing. You're just ordinary folks. And then this idea comes from...
and I want to say that to everybody out there. You know, I really want to say that this is a time of a lot of change on the planet. Everybody's afraid right now. They're afraid for their money. They're afraid for their jobs. They're afraid for their homes. But, you know, everybody, I think, in the background of their minds has always thought that something is not quite right about the system, and it has to be shook up to change. And in our case, we really did, as I said, put our money where our mouth is. Well, I think everybody is going to have to step up to the plate a little bit on the planet for the planet to change. And even though everybody's worried and scared for themselves, I actually think it's making everybody go back to their values. And this is one of the things that I think we all need to get back to, the natural light. And I think this is part of it.
The moon belongs to everyone, the stars to everyone.
Yeah, there you go.
Get a little bit more of it. That's for sure.
Right.
And Richard said we will be having a DVD for sale because we have found that you can capture the light coming, believe it or not, off the screen.
Wow.
It really affects you. It's kind of amazing.
Certainly emotionally and hopefully physically also as it triggers up.
And so even when you watch it, you might be getting...
Little ones at home or smaller versions of this at home, but that's a development. It's not...
Well, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
You guys are just something else, I tell you. I'm so impressed when I go out there, and I love the aspect of how much you have given up or given of yourself to do this. And I truly hope that, you know, if one person hears this or if 100 people hear this, that they might just take a chance, take a little bit of a chance and give you a call. And, you know, why not? Why not come out here and try this and just see for yourself? I mean, what's it going to hurt? If you have cancer, if you have a bad thyroid, what's it, you know, why be on the medicine for forever when you can come out here and do it a natural way? And I think that's just a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It truly is. We've only got a few more minutes left, so I really want to thank you for being on this program, and I want to make sure everybody here, I know we've just done this, but let's go ahead. This is Richard and Monica Chapin, and it's ILA. Now, if we put the ILA in the computer, would it just come out, ILA.com or anything?
You know, put in anything from Moonlight Collector on down the line, we show up.
Okay, good.
There's a lot of this going on.
So. Good. So then, I mean, you can just... You know, if you just think about it tonight or, you know, then all of a sudden in the morning, because I always put out prayers that somebody hears through this. And so I know that they do. I believe that. So,
well, your heart's in the right place now.
Well, I just believe that. And I know. And then I just believe. So I'm hoping that what people have heard tonight, they'll give you a buzz, they'll give you a call, they'll look at your website. I mean, Dr. Emoto is... that's another thing for people to look at this man's name about the water, because he is just an incredible person, and for him to be on your documentary is such an incredible honor, I think, because it's one and the same, the moon and the water. As simple things as the moon can heal, a simple thing as a water, I mean, we're made of almost all water. It makes so much sense. And the moon, like...
one thing about Dr. Emoto, one thing about everybody listening tonight, really, Dr. Emoto started off as a type of salesman in Japan, and he just got the call. I don't know how else to say it. He just started studying water. And everyone out there has a moment, I think, when something has interested them, and whether they took it all the way out and pursued it is another point. But Richard and I, as you put down, as you said very clearly, we are just normal people who had this inspiration, and now it's ready for everybody else. And it's the same with Dr. Emoto. He's just a humble guy. Really.
It's amazing, and that's what happens. I mean, it's like, it just happens, and then you do it, and you listen to your heart, and you just do it. You don't stop, and you keep going. And, you know, like you said, you need funding, and you need, you need things to help you succeed in this. So hopefully, you know, this will just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what my prayers are for, and then it'll help so many people. Just a natural thing that, Richard, that your mind created. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And Monica, you work side by side with him on this. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Well, we thank you. That's very nice to say. And, you know, we're all in the same world, one people.
Yeah,
more and more. So I hope to see you on March 7th or March 8th, Mercedes.
Yeah, I'll try to, because I sure would like to lose some weight. or many other things too, because I was diagnosed with bipolar 2, and that's one thing when I went out there last time. I know we're running out of time, so I want to thank you again, Richard and Monica Chapin of ILA, Interstellar Light Collection, Interstellar Light Applications, and the Light Collector. And I want to just ask you right here to make sure that you guys might come back in a couple of months and tell us how the documentary is going on the sales, or how the people are enjoying it, or would you do that for us?
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I think it's time for Team CST. I can't even talk tonight. Team CST to say goodnight, and the song you're going to hear now is one of mine. And you can always look at my website for more information on Team CST. That's MercedesLucky.com, MercedesLucky.com. And I have my music on there. I have the massage. I'm a massage therapist and this show. And just would love to hear from you, too. Like, I hope you call and get on their website for Monica and Richard. And everybody have a nice evening, and God bless, and thank you. Thank you for being here and joining our show.
Thank you, Mercedes.
To the breeze. do.